Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to this special editor's edition of the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast, sponsored by Moda Fabric. So Pat turned the mics over to us so that we can tell you about the latest issues coming your way. And I'm so excited to have Jody Sanders with us. And Jody and I are going to talk a little bit about Make It Mini, our latest special issue. And it's actually called Make It Mini, Small Quilts and More. So, Jody, I know minis are near and dear to your heart.
They are. I was just looking back at some mini quilts that I made the other day, and I was pretty good at that point in putting labels on my quilts, and I think one of the first ones I made was about 1996, so it's been 20 years that I've been making mini quilts.
That's so amazing.
For people that think this is a new phenomenon, it's really not, but it's kind of cycled back through again, and we're seeing a lot of popularity with mini quilts right now. One of the things that when we were putting this book together, we looked at not just quilts, you know, not just mini quilts, but also some objects. And so that's why we're calling it Small Quilts and More. And Linda, do you want to talk about kind of what we're, you know, when we're looking at this, it doesn't necessarily mean a true miniature, maybe.
Well, and I know there are some folks out there who have some very strong ideas of miniature and what miniature means. So for some people, miniature means a true technical 12 inches to 1 inch. So a 12-inch block would finish at 1 inch, which is pretty tiny. So we took that interpretation a little broader and really just looked at what would be a smaller, what's it like to work smaller? Whether it's smaller pieces, smaller projects, a little bit of both, and then also just some small projects that you can get done with smaller pieces of fabric. So, you know, if you've got two fat quarters or if you've got a small assortment of charm squares or things like that. So those smaller pieces. And I love that we've sprinkled in some tips all the way through on how to make that easier to accomplish. So I think it can be intimidating.
It can be. And especially if you're working with small pieces for the first time, they can maybe seem a little fiddly as well. And I would encourage people, one of the things I like to do when I'm working with smaller pieces is also scale down my tools. Use a smaller ruler. Use a smaller rotary cutter and also a cutting mat. Just scale everything down from the larger sizes that you're used to. And that kind of almost just gets you in the right mood for working with those smaller pieces as well.
Right. And I know that, you know, the other thing for people, I think that your seam allowance is so important when your pieces are so small.
They really are. It's important to maybe make even just a little test block before you start. Again, you're using small pieces of fabric, so you won't have a lot of waste. But I think just checking that quarter-inch seam allowance is particularly important when you're working with small pieces.
Absolutely.
And maybe let's talk a little bit about how we divided this particular magazine into three chapters.
Well, we have the first chapter, which is such a fun concept for me, is the mini makeover. So we actually do show the large size of the quilt, or the original quilt, which was a larger sized block. And then we show the mini version of that. And I think that's just a fun kind of eye opener for people as far as, oh, you know, I can use some ideas. Maybe there's a quilt that you fell in love with that was a family heirloom, and you could make a smaller version of it to have in your home or to share with your siblings. You know, one of you ended up with grandma's quilt, but the rest of you kind of wish you had. So,
and you know, with makeovers, we always love the before and after. So we do, as Linda mentioned, showcase that original quilt that the inspiration came from so that you can see that. And all of those patterns are also available on apqshop.com. And we list that information for you there in the story as well. But we just thought it was really important for you to see kind of the before and the after. And with makeovers, we know that's people's kind of favorite part.
We always love the before and after. The great unveil, if you
will. And it's, you know, it's not just taking in this chapter necessarily a larger block and making it small, although that's what many of the projects include, but it also may be taking just a portion of a block. So if you have a block that has multiple pieces in it, maybe it's just taking a few of those sections, like a few of the flying geese or a smaller center portion of the original block, and then multiplying that and making a small tabletopper or a small wall hanging out of it. So there's lots of things you can do. And I know, you know, quilters, I think a lot of times we have so many ideas in our head and so many projects that we want to make that the small quilts are kind of nice because once you've sort of gotten that idea out of your head and you've worked through it, you know, there's another one waiting and another one waiting and another one waiting. So I think that's another appeal of the mini quilts is, I know especially for me, I can get more done that way. I can I can try that technique. I can try that color combination in a small quilt. And then I've done it and I've seen it. And then now I'm ready to move on to the next thing because there is always another idea percolating.
Absolutely. The other fun thing about this is that not everything is, you know, a table topper or, you know, we've got some great ideas for wall quilts and ways to display them. We've also got even some pieces that are framed, which I think is an interesting, I don't know that people think I can frame my quilt, but with these smaller projects, it's really quite easy to do and it really makes a statement piece of art.
It really is a neat way to show off some handicraft or some handwork in your home and just elevates it a little bit, I think, by putting a mat and a frame on it. It just seems to really, like you say, make it a piece of art. And the thing with those frame pieces, you can go ahead and finish those, quilt them and bind them if you want. But we've also, you know, seen several pieces where you just finish the top and then you can put it on some kind of backing and frame it that way as well. And that's kind of a nice way for people who are a little averse to finishing. I know for me, I'm kind of a topper. Once I get the top done, I'm on to the next thing. So that's also an appealing way for me to finish that piece of artwork and get it up on the wall quickly.
The nice part about a mini quilt, though, is, you know, you probably don't need a long arm to finish that. You can just finish that on your domestic machine. There's easier to quilt.
And we've also got several examples in the book of hand quilted options for people as well. So I think that's something that we haven't seen a lot of. Maybe we've seen a lot of people finishing their quilts by machine quilting, either domestic or long arm. But there are a lot of hand quilters still out there. And so we've got some projects that have been hand quilted and giving them some ideas on hand quilting their small quilts as well, which I think is a really nice touch, especially if you're maybe reproducing something or using maybe a reproduction fabric. And you know what? There's nothing that says that you can't machine quilt and hand quilt in the same project as well. I know a friend of mine, she likes to do both. She kind of does the machine quilting to stabilize everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe those long sashing pieces or big squares, she might do some machine quilting and then goes back in and adds some fine detail with the hand quilting. So that's something to think about as well with your quilts is you don't have to finish them just with one technique or one way.
Yes, I did that a couple years ago. I had a quilt that was log cabins and I did the in the ditch with the machine because it was nice straight lines. But then I wanted to add some curved quilting to it and I thought, I'm going to get a much better curve knowing my skill set if I hand do that. And it really did show it off so nicely.
We've got more than one color of many of the quilts in that first mini makeover chapter as well, because again, we have the original quilt, so you can see the colorway it was made in with that, then the newer project, and then we also have some color options from previous projects maybe that were made. So you get a lot of color inspiration as well for combinations that you might want to put together when you're making your version of these quilts.
I love that too, and some are scrappy versions, and then the new version is an all-one coat color or a monochromatic or much more controlled. And I think that just inspires people to look at projects a different way.
And I think there's also a nice color combination and options depending on whatever your style is. You know, we have a lot of different styles in here. Some of us cross styles and like to work with all kinds of fabrics. There aren't many fabrics that I don't like. But for some people who do like a particular genre of fabric, I think that you'll find that there'll be several quilts in here that will interest you and that you'll find fun to make.
Now, the next chapter in the book is rooted in tradition, and that's really that, you know, those really classic patterns and interpreting them into smaller pieces.
Well, and there are things like flying geese and log cabin, sawtooth star, a pinwheel, bow tie. Those are all traditional blocks that most people kind of have in their mind's eye when somebody says that, they know what that block looks like. And so it's taking those traditional blocks and either making them in a traditional way or maybe combining some of those elements and coming up with something new and different, a different setting, a different way of putting your lights and darks. And so it looks very different than maybe a traditional block that you think of in that particular style. So we know that those classic elements are things that people always go back to. I know when you ask people what their favorite block is, oftentimes they're going to say a log cabin, a star, a churn dash, a nine patch. Just using those traditional squares and triangles is still popular, even with I think modern quilters, even though it's rooted in tradition. Mm-hmm. We were recently at QuiltCon, and we saw many quilts there that were done maybe in a larger version, but also using these traditional elements as well.
Right. I think those blocks really do translate well to really any look.
I have a particular favorite, well, I shouldn't say favorite, because actually I think the book itself, there are so many things and so many projects to choose from that it kind of is hard to pick a favorite, but I kind of started and worked on one of the projects, and then I went back and I thought, oh, now I want to make that one. Oh, now I want to make that one. So I think it's going to be something actually that people are going to look at and want to make more than one project in here, which again makes it a great value for the reader, I think.
Absolutely. I actually think Jody's going to be on the mini quilt a month plan because we were talking about it. And even then, you know, we said it'd be a great class idea to do a mini quilt every month and pick a different quilt from the book.
Yeah, there's 29 projects, instructions for 29 projects in here. So you actually, you know, if you did one a month, you could actually do this for a couple years and still not make all of the quilts that are in the magazine here. So it's a great value for the reader, but there's also, I think, a great variety as well in the projects. So.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a little quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about Make It Mini, Small Quilts, and more.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. Join the 1 million pillowcase challenge in March for the ultimate pillowcase competition. Gather a team and compete with other shops and groups during the month of March to make pillowcases, earn points, and be crowned the ultimate pillowcase champion. The group with the most points at the end of the competition will be awarded $1,000 cash and a visit from an editor for a talk and trunk show. Or just watch the action with weekly voting and daily prizes. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/pillowcase madness for more information and to sign up to participate.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or many more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases. Quilt along with us in 2016. Join our third annual quilt along by making a quilt, a one-block pillow, or all four projects featuring plus sign designs. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong for a list of participating bloggers and designers and to see photos of what staff members and other readers are sewing. Share your photos on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltAlong to join the fun.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back. This is Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More, and I'm here with Jody Sanders from Quilts and More, and she's also the one who really spearheaded Make It Mini, Small Quilts and More, and that's the bookazine that we're talking about now. And I just want to talk really briefly about the cover of that magazine so you can look for it on local newsstands or at your local quilt shop. And what we have on that cover is six different projects, photos, kind of in a grid style, so you can look for that. And it says at the top, of course, Make It Mini, Small Quilts, and More. 29 pint size projects. So, Jody, did you want to talk about the projects that are on the cover?
Yeah, I think that we have a nice variety of technique and styles and fabric choices. And so I think there's something that will appeal to most people who want to give minis a try. And if this is your first time at making mini quilts, I would encourage you to pick it up. Don't be intimidated. There's some terrific projects in here, and the skill levels are from beginner to a little more advanced. So don't be scared if you see it and you think, oh, I could never do that. I guarantee you there's a project in here for you to tackle. As Linda mentioned, we have six images on the cover, and the first image that you're going to see is a really nice, bright, cheery quilt from, it's called Flashpoint, sorry, and it was inspired by a quilt from Sharon Tucker, and it was black, white, and bright in the original, and then Joanna Figueroa and Cheryl Hadley actually made a smaller version of this and used some grays and peaches and some white in the background. And it's just a really vibrant, fresh, very springy and summery looking quilt, I think. So that one's great. It's four blocks. We also have a project from Keiko Clark, and that's in the center. And it uses a folding technique similar to origami with paper, but it's actually folding with fabric. And so you have a texturized quilt that has some depth to it. And some people will refer to it to a biscuit quilt, similar to that, so if you're familiar with that technique. But again, very fresh and springy and summery looking, with some beautiful fabrics there from Moda Fabrics, the Windermere collection by Brenda Riddle. So if you're a fan of Brenda's fabrics and you know that very pretty floral that often comes in her collections, that's a great option. And I just love that technique. And we have how-to photos, step-by-step photos of how to do that. So I think that's really important for folks for a new technique to be able to see that.
Well, I love it. Those almost make little bows or flowers, the way that those puffs are made. It's a different technique than your typical puff or biscuit quilt.
Right, right. We also have for our red, white, and blue lovers, we've got a star quilt on there that's red, white, and blue, alternating star blocks. And this quilt actually is hand-quilted. And so that's kind of our first hand-quilt introduction to hand-quilting there on the cover. We also have a small wool tabletopper applique, a little petite flower tabletopper that was made by Lisa Bongean of Primitive Gatherings. Pam Buddha also contributed a quilt to this book, or to this magazine. And I love sampler quilts, and I love scrappy quilts. And so this one in particular is one that I'm going to be making very shortly with my scraps and little pieces of fabric. And we call that one Little Bits. And it's just a cute little four-block sampler. We've done it in one row. I know Pam, I think, sets it kind of in front of her sewing machine when she does some sewing. So a real cute little sampler quilt there. And then finally, we have a pinwheels quilt on our cover, and we know people love little pinwheel quilts. And that one, again, was done by Joanna Figueroa and Cheryl Hadley. And it was inspired by a larger quilt by Gudrun Erla, that was cartwheels, and that was in American Patchwork and Quilting, and then we downsized it and made a smaller quilt that is included here. And that's got some real pretty autumn colors of browns and blacks and creams. So just a real nice variety of things on the cover, and that's well representative of what's inside the magazine.
I love it. Now, in Rooted to Tradition, which was where we left off earlier, there's a project in there that is actually made, or inspired by, I should say, some antique pillowcases, which... it's just kind of an off-center, kind of, I don't want to say crazy quilt because it's log cabin, but talk a little bit about that project.
You know, sometimes we have scraps and pieces that aren't always straight and aren't always square, and we also find those quilts that maybe they're just quilt tops and they were never finished, and we wonder why they were never finished, and sometimes it's because the pieces didn't always measure up correctly or weren't square or straight. In this particular case, we have purposefully put together a quilt that was based on some antique pillowcases where the pieces, you know, were scraps. Sometimes they put together two or three pieces of fabric to actually make one strip on the log cabin round. So this is inspired, the little quilt here is inspired by those vintage or antique pillowcases. And I think it's just a fun technique because it's very improvisational. If you don't have something just square, it's okay. Just the next round, kind of get things squared up, and then just keep adding those strips. And it's okay if everything doesn't line up correctly. That's actually kind of part of the charm.
Now, I don't know if this is the smallest pieces we have in the magazine or whether there are smaller ones, but Bitty Bow Ties is a pretty small block.
It is. The finished block only finishes at 1.5 inches, and that's for the total block. That's not one of the segments. So they are very small bow tie blocks. They're adorable. It's very scrappy, and so it's fun to see all those different versions of what the little bow ties might look like. But it's a really fun quilt and a great way to use some of those scraps.
I love it. And another idea we have for smaller quilts is a signature or an autograph quilt. Again, a great use. You know, you may not want to sleep under an autograph quilt or a signature block quilt, but what a great way to display that on a wall and really, you know, have that memory look at you.
You know, the wonderful thing is about those memory quilts, too, is that you know, a lot of times if you forget to put a label on something, depending on when the quilt was made, you can kind of go back and remember of when that quilt was actually made or given to somebody, because you can look at those signatures and say, oh, yeah, I remember when we got together for whatever the occasion happened to be. And they could be from anything from, I know in the past I've made blocks to take to quilting retreats. And I made those ahead of time and had the people there sign the block. And then I'll put the small quilt together. And then that's a memory of the time that we had together as the quilting group. You can do them at family reunions. That's another great place to have signature quilts.
Well, we joke that I've got one in my office that's hanging there that we made for another issue that was blocks that were from when I was in a guild in Florida. And those wonderful women there who sent me off with some wonderful signature quilts. And I get to look at that every day and remember those ladies. And really, you know, it speaks to me. And I know that they were quilting friends and they're still quilting friends.
Another thing that we've included is what we call our little journal quilts. And the editors, many of us got together and made these little quilts. And for those of you that aren't familiar with a journal quilt, it is typically about the size of a sheet of paper, so like 8.5 by 11 inches. And you make a quilt based on things that are happening at your life at that time. So it's kind of similar to a journal entry or a diary entry where you're writing about what's happening. But in little journal quilts, you're actually sewing or piecing, putting together something that's happening during your life at that particular time. And so four of the editors kind of took that challenge on and decided to put their little journal quilts in here. So they're kind of fun to see the background and the reasoning for the fabrics that are selected. And I love having that background information, because then you look at it differently and you go, oh, that's why she did that. Or, you know, now I understand why they picked that particular fabric or that particular color palette or that particular pattern. So if you haven't made a journal quilt, I'd encourage you to make one. And again, there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just typically about the size of a piece of paper and something that's going on in your life at that particular time period.
And the final chapter in the issue is Project Potpourri, and that's really the journal quilts are kind of the opener for that, because it's that if you have a few hours or you need a last-minute gift or you'd want to just try something out but not dive in too deep, we've got some fun techniques in this chapter, everything from, you know, English paper piecing, fabric folding, wool applique, foundation piecing, and really those projects are great, like a sampler almost of different things you can try.
And the thing that I love is that this is where we're able to put things that weren't quilts. So
right.
Many of the things are objects. So things like pot holders, pin cushions, a little thread catcher bag. It's using those small bits and pieces of leftover fabric, small parts from a charm square pack that maybe you still love the fabrics, but you didn't necessarily use them in the project that you'd use the other pieces for. So these projects, I think, in this chapter are really nice for using those small bits of leftover fabrics that you don't know what to do with, but you also don't want to throw away or get rid of. One of my favorite projects is a little English paper piecing pincushion that we have, and I love to do handwork, and so this is a fun take-along project that is not very big and you can carry in your bag and take along with you.
Well, I know another project you're working on is Patriotic Star, which is a foundation piece, very small project. It finishes at 7.5 by 6, so it's a small piece that we've actually framed up, but it is tiny pieces and they're foundation.
It is, and I have it all done except for the binding, so if you're watching the All People Quilt Instagram account, probably sometime in March, hopefully, there'll be a posting there that I've actually got that quilt done and bound, and as Linda mentioned, it's very small. It's only like 6 by 7.5 or something without the frame, so it's a really fun little project for those that like little pieces.
Well, and there's even a fun, the thing I love in this issue, just a quick, easy kids quilt that's quick blocks to put together, and then there's a mini version to make the doll quilt. So what a great gift for somebody.
And that's what I had mentioned earlier, too, that if you haven't worked with mini quilts before, don't be intimidated. The project that Linda just mentioned uses larger pieces of fabric, and it's a great thing to make a little kids quilt and then maybe the accompanying dolly quilt to go with it.
That's perfect. Well, thank you so much, Jody, for joining us and talking about Make It Mini, Small Quilts, and More. Again, that magazine is on bookstands and at your local quilt shops now. So pick it up, look through it, and take it home with you. You'll love the projects that are in there. Next up, we'll be with Elizabeth Stumbo from Make It Yourself magazine. So we'll be right back after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me for a fun video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Luck. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project with me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for the price of one. That's a full year free. Every issue is packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, detailed photography, complete materials lists, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today at allpeoplequilt.com.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to the American Patchwork and Quilting podcast. I'm now here with Elizabeth Stumbo, who's the art director for Make It Yourself magazine, which is a magazine that we produce, and it goes on sale. The next issue, the spring-summer issue, goes on sale March 22nd. Which is just a few weeks away, and we're going to give you a sneak peek into the issue. So thanks for joining me, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me, Linda. I'm excited to be here today and talking about this great magazine.
So let's give readers a little background on what Make It Yourself magazine actually contains.
Sure, Linda. So Make It Yourself magazine is a great magazine that has lots of general crafting in projects in there, a lot of great gift ideas. So if you're looking for some fun projects to give to friends and family, we have lots of inspiration in the pages. So if you're looking, one of those fans of Pinterest or Etsy, if you're on there and you're looking at all these great projects and you're like, oh, I just love that project. I wish I knew how to make that. We show you how. So
that's what I love about it. It does feel like I'm looking at somebody's curated Pinterest board, but then I actually have really reliable, trusted instructions to go with it, as opposed to, oh yeah, you can make this, but we don't really tell you how.
Right. We have lots of great how-to photos sprinkled throughout the magazine, and also some online resources that you can get some extra content on our website. And we also have a pattern pack in the back, so you don't even have to search for those pattern pieces. We have them right there for you at 100%. So
that's wonderful. And the other thing that I love about it is that there seems to be kind of a fun party theme in every issue.
That's right. We love parties. We know a lot of people love to throw parties, so we give you everything you need to throw a successful party. In this issue, we'll talk a little bit later about one of our parties, but it's a great party for kids. And in addition to that, we have some great content online for recipes and some other ideas. So lots of fun stuff in this issue.
I love that there's always some printables online too.
Yeah, we love the bonus content. Anything you can go online and print out quickly is great.
Terrific. Well, let's dive into the issue. I know that we've started a new feature in the last few issues, and I should say Make It Yourself comes out twice a year.
That's right. Fall, winter, and spring, summer.
Perfect. But the newest feature that we've added is called Meet the Maker.
Yes.
So tell me more about that.
This is a really fun feature. We love when we can have a little peek inside people's studios and their homes. And so each issue we feature one maker, and this maker is Lauren Cook, and she is from the company Little Skunk Co. And she just has a wonderful Etsy shop and online presence where her and her husband actually got inspired by crafting when they were getting ready to get married. They decided they wanted some really fun pennants at their wedding. So instead of throwing traditional rice or flower petals, they had their friends waving pennants that they had designed. So this kind of launched her business, her online Etsy shop. And she learned how to screen print. And now she sells these beautiful screen printed pennants and pillows. And we have a few photos of her studio and just kind of a glimpse into her history and how she got started being a maker.
I love that. I love that we can feature those stories on how to be a maker, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, really aspiring makers themselves and want to learn more about, you know, how did this person get started and that person get really their footing in the craft industry and in the Etsy industry. So another thing, speaking of fun comebacks, is Crafty Comebacks, which is another new feature you've added. Tell me more about that.
So I think we all remember those fun crafts you would make when you were a kid, when you would play around with lots of different materials. And we've seen kind of a resurgence in those crafts coming back, but we wanted to present them in a way that is a little more modern, a little more adult friendly. Mm-hmm. So we, in this issue, we are revisiting the pot weaving loom that you might remember making pot holders with as a kid. So we have an upgraded version of that, and we show our readers how to make fun different patterns using that basic loom that you used as a kid, but how to make it now into a really cool and updated rug for your kitchen.
Yes, I love it. And I used to make those pot holders all the time. They were a great present for, you know, aunts and grandmas. But the fresh take on this with it being home decor is just fabulous.
Yes, thank you. I think that's a really fun project.
And since it's the spring-summer issue, I know that people are starting to focus on outdoors and garden. So you've got another fun multi-project feature in the magazine.
Yep, this one is called Dig In. The story features everything you need to kind of refresh your garden for the summer. And one of my favorite projects from this issue is from Anna Marino, and she's from the Freckled Sage, and she uses chalkboard cloth, which I think this is such a genius way to use this material. She makes a hanging herb garden that out of chalkboard cloth, and I just think this is so fun. So you can make it, put your plants in it, and then use the chalkboard cloth to write the herb names onto the cloth.
It's brilliant. It doesn't take up much space. You really could use it in an apartment, in, you know, something with a patio, whatever you've got. It
yep.
fits every space.
Yeah, since it hangs vertically, it doesn't take up a lot of space. And you can, she actually sells the oil cloth too. So if you're wondering where you can get that chalkboard fabric, she will have that provided at Oil Cloth by the Yard as well.
That's perfect. And there's some other fun projects in there. There's a wreath made out of little pots that you get your plants in, your plantings in, and some other really neat, colorful, inspiring projects for your garden.
One of my favorites also is this tie-dye swirled terracotta pot. Mm-hmm. So you take one of those basic terracotta pots and you use actually nail polish. And we've actually done a video on how to do this technique, and it is so fun and quick and easy. So that content will be online on our blog, and you can actually see from the pages of the magazine how to see that in action on the video.
I love it, because I've got a lot of nail polish colors that just aren't quite right anymore for my nails.
Exactly, but they might look beautiful on a terracotta pot.
They'd look great in the garden. Yep. That sounds wonderful. Another trend-inspired thing that you've been seeing is a lot of geometric designs, and I know you pulled together a story for that inspiration as well.
Yep, so this is another story. The projects are all designed by Jody Mensing Harris, who is a wonderful producer for us, and she was inspired by all the trends in geometry and all these beautiful angles that we see happening in home decor. So one of the projects she made for us is a little hanging air plant holder, which is so easy. We have step-by-step photos. I know I've seen that on Pinterest a ton, and I've always wondered how to make that. And also on the pages of like Anthropology, things like that. So now you can make your own for a fraction of the cost. And we actually do really great step-by-step photos, so you can have success at making that.
I love it.
Yeah, and then we just have a beautiful, simple painted wall art, and also a really fun necklace made out of balsa wood and paint that kind of reminds me of a pennant.
Yep, absolutely. And I love, there's also that coffee pot project with the really beautiful design on it. So easy to do, but such a stunning finished piece.
Yep, exactly. You can find them at maybe a vintage or a secondhand store, a teapot, and can embellish it with just a quick enamel pen.
It can match any house, any room. I think those are those great, brilliant nugget ideas that just, and we tell you how. You know, you see them and you think, oh, that's clever, but I can't. So we make it easy.
Yep, and you can personalize it to whatever, you know, pattern you love or desire, so.
Perfect. The next story was Selfie Expression, which I think is so clever. And tell me a little bit about how that came together.
So we're seeing a trend in making clothing, but taking a basic plain t-shirt and how to upgrade it and personalize it to make it yourself. So we have a couple designers that took some basic t-shirts and embellished them. One used a vintage embroidered tea towel and used that to fuse onto a basic plain white tee and really took that t-shirt up to the next level.
Makes it look so difficult, like you did all this embroidery, but really you just
really did. Yes, exactly. You can
perfect
look like you spent a lot of time, and it really didn't take a lot of time at all. And then we also have taken like those pair of maybe you have a pair of shoes in your closet that just are outdated looking. So we've taken a designer has taken some leather paint, painted them a beautiful aqua color, and then embellished them with beautiful flowers and leaves. And we give you the step by step instructions on how to achieve that look as well.
And I love that because I'm really not. I always think I'm a painter, but when I dive into a project, I'm really not a painter. And the instructions were so clear and easy that it was so easy to follow along. I felt like, you know, this time I really could be able to paint that same design or a very similar design and succeed, which I just love.
Yeah, I think that'll be really fun for people.
There's also some fun accessories in that and a cute puppy.
And a cute puppy. My sister's dog made an appearance in that photo shoot. So he's quite adorable.
I love it when we get to see company dogs.
Yes.
So then to really, you know, shift from the wearables to the home decor items, resin has become such a popular material to work with. But I know that people can get pretty intimidated by that. So tell me about the Clear Winners story.
Yeah, so this is all a story using resin. And if you've never worked with resin before, it can be, like you were saying, intimidating. But really, it's just we have some great basic how-to photos to get you started on that. And you can use your imagination. So by combining a couple of liquids and using some of those great silicone molds they've made these days, you can make some really fun projects for your home, including some wonderful dream catchers, light catchers for your window, some beautiful paperweights, and even some really fun charms for your wine glasses.
I love that. And I love that we've got some pennants in there and some other projects that really can capture whether it's an item from nature, like a leaf or a flower, or, you know, really capture your photos in a way that you can preserve them and use them. And I just love that there's so much personalization in that story, the ability to really, like I said, those pennants where you can put in things that really matter to you or tell your story and make it one of a kind.
Yeah. Once you learn the basic steps for how to use resin, you can really use your imagination. And we kind of give you some tips on other things you can embed in resin. So like you were saying, photos, or maybe it's a fun fortune cookie message that you really like, or some beautiful glitter or beads. Lots of ideas you can use there.
Yes, that story really resonates with me. I think it's got the potential for a lot of great gifts for Mother's Day.
Yeah, so. I agree. I can't wait to start playing around with it myself.
All right. The next story is Fruit Punch, and it's just so fun and so seasonally, like just such a shot of color. So tell me about the projects that are in there.
Yeah, so we kept seeing a lot of trending with fruit, and especially pineapples are really big right now. Everywhere you go, you can see pineapples. So we have some fun projects in the issue people that are interested in those. And so we have a really adorable scrappy pineapple table topper that is actually sewn together, and it is using Kona cotton solids, so beautiful fabrics to work with. We make a really fun pineapple table topper. We also have a crocheted pineapple washcloth, which is just so clever and almost too cute to use when you're washing your dishes.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. I want to talk more about Fruit Punch when we return, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll finish talking about that fun story.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Join American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, giveaways, and more. Find us at facebook.com/APQ magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast. I'm here with Elizabeth Stumbo from Make It Yourself Magazine, and we're going to talk more about that fun story we were just discussing, Fruit Punch. Now, we talked about the pineapple runner and the crocheted pineapple project, but we're going to talk more about the other fun projects that are in this story.
Yeah, so from a great designer, Alexis Middleton, from PersiaLou.com blog, she has created a couple projects for this story as well. Some really fun, kind of inspired by pinatas, but they're miniature pinatas made out of styrofoam balls and just basic crepe paper. You can make these little inspired pinatas, and they're just so cute. There's watermelon, a pineapple, and a strawberry that would look really great for party decor at your next party or maybe even as a gift topper on a present.
Yeah, I think they'd be a fun little gift tag. Yeah. Just a little something to add to a present, a gift bag, because I'm a big gift bag buyer, but I like them to look cute.
Yeah, exactly. You want to kind of embellish them, and they're just so fun looking and just really bright.
Yep.
She also has designed for us the, well, I mentioned the pineapple washcloth too. So she designed that for us as well.
That's perfect.
Yep. And we also have another crochet project in this issue from Amanda Hune. And she has an Etsy shop called Miss Amanda Jane. And she has crocheted us a really fun lemon garland. So it's all these cute little lemon slices strung up on a garland. And then she's taken that same lemon motif and made a cozy for your mason jar. And that is just so fun, and that actually makes an appearance on our cover of the issue as well.
I just love that project. It's kind of whimsical and a little silly and just so much fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to make one of those and then drink some lemonade this summer. So looking forward to that. And then we also have a really fun strawberry pincushion that's kind of big and oversized and really fun. And we've also highlighted some products out there that are also using that same pineapple motif from some of our companies out there, like Duck Brand Tape has a really great duct tape out there that has pineapples on it.
I love that.
And then we also wanted to give some bonus projects for this issue too. So we have some really fun fruit inspired gift tags that you can go to our website and download them, print them out, and embellish them with some watercolors or some colored pencils. So
I just love those. Those are such cute gift tags, and they'd be so great with those little mini pinatas.
Yeah, you would have everything you need to put together to give a beautiful gift.
You would. Hey, speaking of which, before we go on too far, we didn't talk about the cover of the magazine.
That's right.
I want people to be able to find the magazine on the newsstand. So let's talk a little bit about the cover. So the cover, of course, the title is Make It Yourself Magazine. Make It Yourself is big on the cover. And then tell me a little bit about the projects that we see on that cover.
Right. So the main image, we have a variety of projects kind of set up to look like a little party. So we have a cake on the cover, and we have some really adorable felt candles, and these are from our Meet the Maker profile. So she created these easy no-sew candles that you can use as cake toppers, and those are really fun and bright. And we have the lemon crocheted mason jar koozie, and then we also have a little easy garland in the background where you can make using those decorative paper straws.
Perfect. And then also on the, we've talked about the in the selfie expression, we've got a t-shirt on the front cover that has some ruffles on it made from a second t-shirt. So it's t-shirt hacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then another new feature in the issue this time is kids crafts. And we have a cute little kids craft project on the cover.
Yeah. So we have a designer who designed 5 different projects, all using clothespins that are perfect to craft with your kids. So we go through and we give you the 5 different crafts. And she's also given age ranges. So everyone from, you know, toddler on up through age 8, I believe, there's something for those kids that they can make. And so we have adorable little race cars made out of clothespins, a little fairy out of clothespins also with a little tutu pom-pom skirt. So cute.
I think we all everybody in the office wanted to make one of those just because it's so adorable.
Yeah, so fun.
So, and the other thing I love about that Crafts for Kids column is that you show me pictures of exactly what I need for materials. So it's super easy. It's not even like a long materials list. It's just you need a clothespin, you need a brown marker, you need. So it's nice to be able to just look at that list in an instant and say, I can collect these things. I've got these in the house.
Yeah, so many of the things are just simple products you would probably already own. Or if you need to go out shopping for them, we show you exactly what you're looking for.
I love that. That makes it so much easier. So that's what the cover looks like. I want to make sure everybody was, you know, looking for the right cover. And it is the spring-summer 2016 issue. So that's what you're looking for. Now, the other fun kid story in the issue is called Pop-Up Party. And while it is a kid's party, I'm personally in love with every project we have in here. And I think that my kitchen is going to get redone into a soda shop.
That would be so fun. Yeah, so this is such a fun party. This was actually, all the projects were designed by Emily Herrick. And she is from the company Crazy Old Ladies Quilts. And so she's a quilter we've worked with in the quilting world before, so you might recognize her name. But she has a new fabric line that I saw at Spring Market last year with Michael Miller Fabrics. And it was all inspired by soda. So she has a regular line of colorway of fabric, and then she had her diet line, which I think is so fun. So the diet line is actually the line that we chose to use, and it has bright, happy colors, perfect for spring. And everything was kind of inspired by the 1950s soda shop.
I love it.
So we brought in some really fun kids for this photo shoot. They had so much fun. Of course, drinking these fun soda creations that we give you recipes for later, but also just Emily came up with some fun craft projects for them using bottle caps and also some paper straws. So the kids had a fun time on that shoot, and I know I did as well. So we also have a fun behind the scenes video on our website too that they can, if you want to see a little glimpse behind the scenes, you can visit that as well.
I love it. And I've seen those paper striped straws everywhere.
Yeah.
And I buy them just because they're so cute, and I don't drink out of paper straws, so I don't know why I keep buying them, but they're adorable. So now I have some fun craft project uses for them.
Yeah, we have some fun projects where you decorate some frames, simple wooden frames with these paper straws. And as I mentioned before on the cover, we have that fun paper straw garland. So lots of different uses for that. And Emily did such a great job creating this little soda shop inspired area where we have kind of a little beverage and candy station and cupcake station. And also these fun pillows inspired by bottle caps, where she uses some really big rickrack trim to create the edges of the bottle cap. And I think that's so clever.
It's just brilliant. And we even have, there's even a PVC pipe like awning. So it just looks like a walk-up soda counter or something. I love this story. I think it's going to be very appealing to everybody. And small and large bottle cap projects, some that hang on the wall and some that are little magnets. So much to look at.
Yeah, and the kids had so much fun playing with that. And we also have Emily designed some aprons for them and then some also patterns so they can make their own soda jerk hats out of paper, pattern paper. So they can kind of get into that whole spirit of the 1950s soda shop as well.
It's so much fun. The final story in the issue is Ordinary to Extraordinary. And really, it's the upcycling idea.
Yeah, we keep seeing upcycling everywhere. And people love, you know, going to secondhand shops and vintage shops, finding those treasures and, you know, doing something fun with them. Or maybe you just have like a stack of old CDs lying around. You're like, what am I going to do with all of these old CDs? So one way we've used those is Kristen Cleveland is our designer. She also did the potholder story earlier. So she's just a master at weaving. So she's taken CDs and instead of weaving on a loom, she uses the CD as your actual loom. And so we show you step by step how to use those CDs to create beautiful artwork. I think this would look amazing on a wall. We've also photographed it in the magazine on a table. So she just weaves those together and it just creates some really fun, bright artwork.
I think that's fabulous. I actually think I have a huge collection of vintage pins, and I have to tell you that the vintage pin bouquet might be my favorite project in that story, just because I love the idea of having those pins that very often, you know, are in a box in my bedroom waiting to be worn, using them as art.
Yes. Or even if like you have some brooches that are broken, the backs no longer work, or they're too heavy for your clothing, put them in this beautiful bouquet and it is never going to fade. It's going to always look great.
I love that idea. There's also some other fun projects for hair ideas, hair accessories, and some cool projects with old rulers, which I know are another one of my weaknesses when I'm at a sale.
Yeah, these are really fun. We've used some old rulers and cut them down and used them to make a one-of-a-kind pencil case and also a little flower vase as well.
That's just fabulous. I love that story. Now, before we wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about what's in the front of the book, as we call it, the front of book content. So all the different departments and things that are in Make It Yourself that make it such a wealth of information for readers.
Yeah, we have lots of great content up front. We also have lots of things going on with social media as well.
We sure do.
We have our blog, makeityourselfmagazine.com. So I encourage you to visit that because I know this magazine only comes out twice a year. But when you're waiting for it, for the next issue to go on newsstand, come visit our blog. And we have lots of weekly content going up all the time with new projects. Lots of fun stuff on the blog.
I know you and Lindsay are always working on new videos and new downloads and new fun things for that blog.
Yeah, we're always trying to stick on, find the things that are trending and, you know, be up to date on everything. So we like to put things up on the blog. We also have a monthly cross-stitch pattern that we release every first of the month. And it is just a fun little project. You can cross-stitch really quick and get a seasonal cross-stitch pattern up and put it in a hoop. So
I love that. You can switch those out every month.
That's right.
And we also have, just to touch on it, with Instagram, we've got our own hashtag. It's hashtag MIYMagLife. And so we encourage anybody who's made a project out of Make It Yourself to post a photo of that project and post it with the hashtag MIYMagLife. And you can also follow us on Instagram at MIYMag.
Yeah, we love that. We love seeing those people making projects and your versions and your takes on them. So we'd love to see those.
That's great. And you also have always have some fun new products up front. Some, you know, this time you have a little feature on getting organized and some super cute organizers up there.
Yeah, I'm personally in love with this Otlight organizer. It transforms from a desk lamp to also a light box.
Which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, it's so brilliant. And then it also has tons of storage built into it as well. So we want to give you some new product features that are out there that you might want to have fun shopping for.
And then another new department that you've added is FYI with MIY. And I love that. I think it's such a good basic resource for people.
Yeah, I think there's so many things out there that we, general crafts that we might use for multiple reasons, but it might not be the best option. So this issue we featured on scissors. There's so many great scissors out there, but you may not be using them for what they're probably intended for. So we've given you the rundown of all the great scissors and how they're best used.
I think that's brilliant. Because a lot of times, with, you know, a new crafter especially, they don't know the difference between certain things, whether it's, you know, scissors or the things that we're going to cover in the future, which I'm not going to tell yet.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be really helpful for that new crafter or somebody who's really experienced in one craft but knows nothing about another one.
Right. I think that'll be a really great column.
So thanks for joining me and talking about Make It Yourself magazine. I think our listeners are really going to love this issue, and I think everybody should go out and check it out on the newsstand. Again, it's on sale March 22nd. So be sure to go check it out on the newsstand. And as for everything else, well, thank you so much for tuning in today with us. Pat Sloan will be back next week with even more fun guests. So thanks for listening.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.